morning about the power of your praise today.
Right.
Amen. The power of your praise. Hallelujah. Can we just love the Lord here today and thank God for His goodness? Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and make a joyful noise and shout unto Him with the voice of triumph. God is good. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, and praise you. We bless you. We exalt you. We glorify you today, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And you may be seated this morning. Amen. Praise God. There are people that possess powerful voices. And I'm not talking about the ability to get loud, but the persuasion of their voice. Oftentimes you will see that these, what they would be called keynote speakers, would be invited to speak at such celebrations, graduations, and other ceremonies and such. And many politicians are elected simply because of the perceived power, whether it is or it isn't, of their voice. People believe that their voices need to be heard about. And so they will vocalize, or they will throw their vote in for that. I am not into politics so much. As a matter of fact, I try to stay out of it as much as possible. And but there is a senator, and I'm trying to remember his name, but he's out of Louisiana. What's Kennedy's name? What's the senator from Louisiana? He's so vocal. He has no fear about what he says whatsoever at all. He just says it. You don't ever have to wonder what he's saying. You don't have to guess what he's saying. He's just going to say it. And John Kennedy. All right. Not necessarily John F. Kennedy, but nevertheless, John Kennedy, senator from Louisiana. They probably got books about quips that he has said, and he's read his own book. That's how that's how much he believes in himself. Yeah, amen. You can get a kick out of just listening to some of the things that he says. I wish I had some of his quotes here today, but some of it might be offensive, and he's not necessarily crude. He's just. Forward. He just says it like it is. And amen. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless. But there are different voices that are out there, and there are voices that you like to hear, and there are voices that you don't like to hear. There are people that you would look forward to hearing, and people that you would care less to hear anything that they have to say. And I'm not going to name any political names, but there are people and politicians that are still in politics today that I really don't care to listen to anything that they have to say. And there are others that you may have used to like to hear what they had to say, and then as time progresses, you're getting to the place that you don't want to hear anything that they've got to say. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, I believe, amen, that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Praise the Lord. And we are beginning to learn people more and more just simply because of what they are saying. But, amen, let me get off of that. Negative voices produce negative results. They produce bad results. And two times in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 21 and verse number 9, chapter 25 and verse number 24, the wise man, and you can only imagine this, but the wise man Solomon would state that it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop, which literally means, amen, a flat spot up on top of the house, and the meaning that is produced there that would be exposed to all kinds of weather. It is better for a man, he said it is better to dwell, he didn't even say it was a man, it's better for anybody to dwell on the corner of a housetop exposed to all kinds of weather than in a house with a nagging, quarrelsome, and fault-finding woman. Solomon said that twice. I guess he had that experience. I don't know. Amen. Praise God. He probably found, amen, somebody said he went to the doghouse. He just went to the top of the house. And praise God. Bible also tells us that is the way that Samson was worn down. That Delilah vexed him daily with her words. So your voice is a power that is there. But on the other side, positive voices produce positive results. Whereas there are some people that you can't stand to hear, there are other people that you would stand in line to be able to hear. Because positive speaking has a positive result upon people. There's nothing like getting an individual that is excited about leadership to talk about leadership. And they can produce exciting results in the office space or within everyone that hears there. Amen. David would simply say it like this as he prayed unto the Lord. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." And so I want to tell you today that there is a purpose that is given to and in and of your voice. God did not just give you a voice to communicate and to get points across, but he gave you a voice so that you would magnify him. Psalms 150 and 6 said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And so that just simply, amen, signifies that if praise is in your mouth, somebody is bound to hear it. I hope that you would not just relegate your praise, amen, to come into the house of God, that this is the only place that you can thank the Lord. Amen. But everywhere that you go, there ought to be a praise about you. Amen. Every day that you live, amen, there ought to be just an aura of praise. Amen. That would come off of you. And not just that, but a vocal voice that would be lifted up, that you would just simply say, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. You can get in the habit of praising God. You can get in the habit of loving God. And you can cause people to, amen, look at you sideways and say, "Excuse me, what did you just say?" And you may have been walking down the hallway and sitting there waiting at the water fountain or something to get a drink, or in the break room or something. You may say, well, you just simply say, "By habit, just thank you, Jesus." And people look at you like you're crazy. And what did you say? I just said, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. I've got a lot to be thankful for. Praise God. And so what people hear begins to shape what they believe. People have an opinion about you, but that opinion is drawn because of what they have heard about you. And I know that the Bible states that bitter and sweet water cannot flow out of the same fountain, because then people really do get a strong opinion and perception about you. You can't praise the Lord and invite people to the house of God on one hand, amen, and cuss somebody out on the other hand. Amen. You can't be magnifying God on this hand, amen, and slandering and talking about somebody, or, amen, speaking crude jokes on this hand. Amen. You got to make sure that it's all good things, because what you begin to speak, amen, is what people hear, and what they hear, they begin to believe. The Bible said in Romans 10 that faith cometh by hearing.
And if they always hear you praising God and magnifying God, I promise you there's going to come a time in their life when they're going to draw near to you and they're going to say, hey, I want to talk to you, amen, about this God that I'm always hearing you praise. And even though they may not say those exact words, they're going to begin to get around you because they want to hear what you've got to say. Praise God. I've got something to say. Amen. Like Wednesday night, I had something to say. Jesus is still enough for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't have any regrets of coming to the house of God. I don't have any regrets of giving my life to God. I don't have any regrets of living for God. I haven't missed anything. Amen. They say you're missing a good time. If being drunk and hungover and puking my guts out is a good time, thank you, I'll pass that on by. Amen. If being blown, amen, having your mind blown by drugs and not being able to understand where you are and what's going on is a good time, I'll pass on all of that. Amen. I don't need a drug to make me feel high. I don't need alcohol, amen, to drink my problems away. I've got a God who cares about me, loves me, knows where I am, and he's going to help me every step. The Bible said he even orders my steps and directs my paths. I'll take that way every day.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. If faith cometh by hearing, then hearing requires a voice by somebody. And if nobody speaks, then nobody hears. And if nobody hears, then faith cannot come. And so there is a pattern, amen, that is given through your voice. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about some biblical examples today that desperate people respond to what they have heard. Amen. We'll go back to the political box here for just a moment of time. Amen. But when people begin to get desperate, what do they start doing? They start listening for somebody that may believe like they believe. Or they may start listening for somebody that's voicing their opinion that they can put their confidence in. Amen. Somebody that's going to make a difference. And if they already know who that voice is, then they're going to tune in to that voice a little bit more. Because desperate people, amen, are in desperation and they're looking for something. They want something to happen. Let me remind you that blind Bartimaeus was sitting beside the roadside when he heard a commotion that was going on. And being in his predicament, he began to ask people, what is it that I am hearing? And somebody said, well, it's Jesus. He's in the vicinity. He's around the area and everybody is talking and speaking and hoorahing all about this. I want you to know that Bartimaeus had already heard some things about Jesus. But to hear that Jesus was in the vicinity ignited some things that he had already heard in his heart. And he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And when Jesus would finally call him, he would tell the blind man, what is it that you would have me to do for you? And Bartimaeus, hearing him perfectly, would say that my sight would be restored. And Jesus, amen, restored his sight. The Bible tells us about a woman with an issue of blood who had suffered many things. But when she heard that Jesus, read it, it said that when she heard that Jesus was in the area, it didn't matter how weak she felt, it didn't matter how bad she felt, how sick she felt, how much she didn't feel like doing anything, the Bible said that she got up when she heard that Jesus was in the area, and she began to make her way through the crowd, pressing through opposition to the place that she could touch the hem of his garment. There was a Syrophoenician woman a couple of chapters later who had a daughter who was possessed with an unclean spirit, and the Bible says it like this, that she heard that Jesus was around and went to get him to heal her daughter. Why did she go? She had already heard of some things that was happening with Jesus. And when she heard that he was close by, she made her way out to find him. And finding him, she would say, Lord, I would that you would come heal my daughter. Amen, amen, amen. Ah, the miracle started with what they heard.
heard. Amen. Not what they saw. They weren't looking. The blind man couldn't see. The woman with an issue of blood, amen, saw her predicament. The Syrophoenician woman could only see a possessed individual. But it didn't start with what they saw. Amen. It was what they heard. They had heard that Jesus was able. They had heard that Jesus could touch. They had heard that Jesus could heal, that Jesus could do wonderful things. And when they heard that he was in the area, they began to do something about what they had heard. Hearing had produced a faith with inside of them. Amen. If somebody can have their miracle, I believe I can have a miracle. If somebody else can have their sight restored, I believe I can have my sight restored. If other people are being filled and healed, amen, and demons being cast out, then my daughter can be healed. Amen. Somebody was talking about the good things that God was doing. Bible talks about a centurion soldier, and it says that he heard of Jesus. And when he heard of Jesus, he told people, I want you to go find that man that we've been hearing about. And I want you to bring him here so that my servant would be healed. In the book of John, the Bible talks about a great noble man. A man who was had heard at what Jesus had done. And he sought out Jesus and he came to Jesus. And he said, I want you to heal my servant because of the things that he had heard. There is a power that is involved in your praise. There is a power that is involved in your testimony. All of these that I had just mentioned, Bartimaeus, a woman with an issue of blood, a Syrophoenician woman, the centurion soldier, the certain great nobleman, they had all heard of testimonies from somebody else, and they heard what Jesus had done, and hearing produced faith with inside of them, strong enough to get them out, amen, of their environment, to get them out of their despair. And they began to reach and began to seek, amen. And it was even to the place that Jesus would tell those that came from John the Baptist. He said, just go tell John the things that you see and that you've heard. And Peter later on in Acts 4 would say, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. You need to open your mouth. You need to begin to praise God. You need to begin to share your testimony. And it doesn't have to be a testimony that you have seen. You can share others' testimony. You can share how God has brought you out and has brought others out. Somebody needs hope. Somebody needs life. Somebody is wanting a new dream. Somebody is wanting a deliverance. Somebody is wanting healing. Praise God. Praise God. There is a power. There is a power that is involved in this. For the spiritual law, amen, gives us by simply saying that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I can promise you that if there is nothing to hear, then there is no faith. And if there is no faith, then there is no pleasing God. But for many people, it is your voice that is directly connected to somebody else's faith. Think about it for a while. Amen. It's easy to say, if I could just get them to the house of God, I believe that they could be saved. Let me tell you how you're going to get them to the house of God. By your voice. By your voice. Your voice is going to produce a faith in them. Your voice is going to ignite a little light of hope within them. Amen, in a place of despair, that they're going to begin to think to themselves, can I have that? Could I possibly experience that? Just give it a little time.
Just keep seasoning your words with salt. Just keep, amen, talking about the good things of God. Just keep praising God. Amen. Keep, amen. Keep good things upon your lips and watch what begins to happen. Praise God. I said, watch what begins to happen. Praise the Lord. They'll know you. They'll know you. And I'll be honest with you, they wouldn't want you to change. Amen. They wouldn't want you to change. They would be, what's the word I'm looking for? They would be upset, as one word. They'd be upset if they found that you changed and you walked away when they've heard of all of the good things that God has done for you, and not just for you, but for others that you know of. Amen. They would be upset that you would walk. You are their hope. You say, well, it doesn't seem like it so much. Let me take you to the Bible. And I'll just tell you that this is what spurned this whole message. The other day, a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching about same-spirited and in the spirit of prayer, how that when we pray according to the Spirit, and the Bible teaching us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we get in the Spirit and we begin to pray according to the Spirit, you know, the problem is that a lot of people, the only thing that they can pray about is themselves. God help me. God fix this with me. God fix my problems. God do this for me. God, and they can spend 30 minutes just praying about themselves and never pray about anybody else or anything else. But when you begin to pray according to the Spirit, when you get in the vein of the Spirit and you pray, and sometimes it can be easy to get in there. I'll just simply say it like this. The closer that you live to that place, the easier it is to get to that place. But if you don't live very close to that place, then it's going to be a long journey to get to that place. And so they began to pray. And I made a statement like this. I said something along the lines of that when we get into the Spirit and we're praying in the Spirit, God expects us to do the things that we can. But when we get into the vein of the Spirit like that, God does things that we can't. And in that case, they were in a prayer meeting somewhere when the only thing that we know is Rhoda was there, because Rhoda's the one that answered the door. And so they were in there and they were praying and they were in the Spirit. They were praying effectually, fervently. God, you got to do something about Peter. God, they're going to kill him tomorrow. And Peter's not going to be amongst us tomorrow besides body. And then we're going to commit him to a grave somewhere. God, you've got to move. You've got to do something. Nobody could go down there to the jailhouse and get keys and open up Peter's cell and let him out and say, come out. They'd have been thrown in the jail with Peter. Nobody was going to go down there and talk to the guards and convince them to let Peter go, because the next day Herod was going to kill Peter. And so God did what nobody else could do. Their voice. You say, well, God was standing up there with his arms crossed and waiting for them to convince him to do something? No. No. There was a spiritual war that was going on. And they entered into that prayer meeting expecting to get into that spiritual war. And in that prayer meeting, they did. They got into spiritual war, and principalities and powers and stuff began to crumble. Spirits of darkness, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places was at war there. And finally, there was a break in it, and God was able to deliver Peter out of, you know, say, well, God, he didn't have the power to do that. I think you can understand what I'm saying. Amen. That God, oftentimes, he don't care about a situation until we care about enough about it. Oh, he cares about it, but he just wants to know how much you care about it. Praise God. And so God did what those people could not do. It caused me to think along the lines of this, and I began to think, I'm going to throw out an idea. We don't know. But I'm just going to throw out an idea out there. I want you to consider. I want you to think about it. I'm not saying that I believe it myself. It's an idea that causes you to think. I just want to know. Name me one person in the Bible. And I know that there's some powerful men, Peter, James, and John. But tell me somebody that would have been able to convert Paul. Who really could have had an effect on Paul? Bible said that the preacher was even fearful of him. And God spoke to Ananias and said, you know, I'm sending Saul your way. And I want you to talk. Ananias was a little bit skeptical about that. I don't know about this. Isn't this the same man that's creating havoc among the lands and such? And the Lord said, don't worry about it. I've already taken care of him. And so we can say that Saul of Tarsus, that God reached down into his life. And I believe that God did. But I want you to recollect what happened in Saul's life before the road to Damascus. A man by the name of Saul of Tarsus was standing, listening to what he was hearing. A man by the name of Stephen was preaching without fear and without favor. And he was making a lot of people mad. And the Bible said that when they were cut to their heart, that they drug Stephen outside of town and threw him on the ground. And they took off their coats and they gave them to a man by the name of Saul. And he stood there holding their coats while they picked up stones and began to throw them at Stephen. And Stephen didn't just hunker down and cover up his head, but the Bible said that he lifted up his head. And he began to pray. And he began to say, Lord, receive my spirit. Stones were coming down and praises were going up. Stephen wasn't, amen, he wasn't faulting God for things. He wasn't faulting anybody for things. As a matter of fact, while Saul sat there holding all of these coats, here is a man that is dying, and he's lifting up his voice, while the voices of hatred is casting rocks, the voice of love is being lifted in mercy. Amen. And Stephen is saying, Lord, don't hold this against them. Don't put this against their account. Just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. Maybe, possibly, could it be that a man by the name of Saul would say, what manner of man is this, that at the point of death and people are stoning him, he's still lifting his voice up to praise God? I want you to know that that voice began to ring in his mind day in and day out. He probably couldn't put it in a grave like they had put Stephen's body under the rock somewhere. He couldn't get rid of it as easy as others were able to get rid of Stephen. I don't know how long time progressed, but there was a time that Saul, thinking he was doing right, walking down the road of Damascus, and a bright light shined down upon him, and he was shocked to his Sunday school roots, and he began to say, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for you to kick up against the pricks? There was a seed that was sown at Stephen's burial, amen, that began to flourish at Jesus' calling. Amen. And Paul, or Saul, began to give his life unto God, and he got his name. Don't shut your mouth. Don't close your mouth. Don't stop praising God. Don't stop lifting him up. It just seems like nobody's listening. It just seems like nothing's happening. You keep praising God. You keep lifting him up. Amen. You keep a positive voice about you. You keep telling good things about God. Amen.
Amen. Don't worry about what they're doing. God is planting a seed, and he'll cause that seed to come up at some point in time when he's ready. But let God use you to plant the seed. Oh, let's love him here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand here this morning. Praise God. Amen. There is power that is involved in your praise. Oh, yeah. There is power that is involved in your praise. Praise God. Amen. And so the psalmist would say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I've come today to encourage somebody here this morning. I feel it today. Amen. Your hope is ebbing. Your hope is dwindling. Your faith is beginning to seem to be fraying, and you're wondering. It oftentimes doesn't happen as quickly as we want it to happen. Doesn't happen, amen, as timely as we would want it to happen. But nevertheless, amen, God is doing something with your praise. God is sowing seeds. I'm just telling you today, somebody is going to come and talk to you because of what they've heard you say. Somebody's going to come ask about your God because of what they've heard you say. I understand they may come and ask you about God because of what they see in your life. But when they hear that you're speaking praise, when they hear you exalting God, when they hear that you've been saying thank you, Jesus, when they hear, amen, that you've been giving God praise, amen, they're going to come to you. You just mark it down. They're going to come to you, and they're going to begin to talk to you. And they're going to begin to say, I want to know about the church that you attend. In the church that you go to. Amen. They know the hypocrite that works on the same job with you. They've heard them praise God. Amen. And blaspheme God. They've heard them magnify God and curse God. They've heard them speak good things about God and tell dirty jokes. They're not going to them. They're coming to you. Their eyes have been on you. They've been watching you. And there's going to come a time in their life that they're going to come to you and they're going to say, I want to know more about the God that you serve. The church that you go to. I want to know more about your life. What about my life? You seem different. You're always talking positive. You're always talking about church. You're always talking about God. You're always talking about good things. I want that in my life. There is power that is involved in your praise. Someone's miracle may be waiting on your voice. Someone's faith is going to be built by what you say. Someone's future, like souls, may be changed by what they hear from you. Don't close your mouth. Open it up. The world would say, shut your mouth. But I'm saying, open your mouth. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. Can we love him here today? Come on, I'm opening up the altars here this morning. It's time to come and practice praise unto the Lord. Amen. Would you let the high praises of God be in your mouth? Would you just begin to thank God for the goodness that he has bestowed upon you? Amen. Would you just think about all the good things that God has done in your life? Amen. God has blessed you. God has given you health. God has put strength in you. God has healed you. God has kept you. God has been faithful. He's never left you. He's never failed you. And you may not have the healing that you want yet. Amen. But you've got a testimony about a faithful God. Amen. Who is there, who helps you get from day to day. And you've got faith that one day, One day, God's going to come through. I'm still believing God for a miracle. I'm still believing God for deliverance. I'm still believing God for healing. I'm still believing God for the touch. Amen. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he came through for me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. He's as close as the mention of his name. He's listening for my voice. He's listening for my praise. He's listening, amen, for my worship.